We are learning. Until we go into glory, we will never come to the fullness of everything that God has made available for us. So every day is a journey. So somebody put down, how do we know when God has answered, accepted, heard our prayers? Why are we more focused on asking God for help than saying thank you for the help he has already given? Why are some prayers answered immediately and others take years? Does God answer all prayers? How can we stop shopping list prayers? How often should we pray? I can guarantee you, you will get an answer to that one today. Hallelujah. Is there more to prayer than thanking God and asking God for guidance? Because if God has a great plan, then when we are praying, we are either asking God to do something he has already planning to do, or we are asking him to change his plan, which I believe says might not be the best idea. That people who are faithful and serving the Lord are not healed, and those who are not doing everything against God's will and commandment are not. Now, that person, if you really want to, I would invite you that we talk about that in a bit more detail, because I think I've got some revelations and we can talk about that particular one in a more detail. Obviously, I don't know who that person is, so it's just an offer. Next one is, dear God, what can I do to make my prayers more effective? I want answers to my prayers. That person, I can guarantee you, if you listen today and you listen carefully, you will get answers to that one. The next one says, God's grace and faith will bring healing and prosperity. Amen. I want to know you more and hear your voice more. Please, God, I want to see my kids and my grandchildren and my mom again. So these are not everything. These are the ones that I felt that the message today would cover or touch on some of them. So back to what I've been asked to talk about. Pray on all occasions. Jesus taught prayer. And before he taught prayer, he taught what isn't prayer. Hallelujah. So let's start. What isn't prayer? The fact that you stand here and you close your eyes and you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, or Father, or dear God, and you end in the name of Jesus, that's not making the prayer. That might be a shock. Because he then went on to say, hypocrites love to pray. And if hypocrites love to pray, do you really think that they get an answer to what they're praying for? Hypocritical prayers don't get answered. The heart is very important when we pray. And praying for the attention of men doesn't really make it a prayer. Oh, look at how awesome he or she is. He can just pray so amazingly. Brother, friend, sister, your reward is what you got when somebody's made that comment. The heart behind prayer is much more important than the words that come from our mouth. So what is prayer? In a very simplest form, prayer is just a communication between created. It's a direct communication between me and my Father, your Father. Hallelujah!
Amen.
I'm excited, but I'm also scared because I've only got like not enough time, and I've got a lot of things that I want to talk about. But this is again very important, and in our life group last Thursday, I think we started on some very important issues. And I think those issues are really the ones that really help us to connect with prayer. So I'll share some of the scriptures that we talked about on Thursday. And the first one is John 14:26. It says, "But the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things." And I like that phrase, all things. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So if you are struggling about prayer, if you're struggling about not having answers to your prayer, guess what? The Holy Spirit is your teacher, and He will teach you all things. If you're struggling why the person you're praying for has still not been saved, guess what? The Holy Spirit is your teacher, and He will teach you where and how to pray, and what not to do. I believe that this message today is just to highlight us and some of the foundational stuff that the Holy Spirit will lead us into. Today's message is not going to answer, or it's not going to teach us on how to pray on all occasions, but it will direct us to the Holy Spirit, who has, you know, infinite knowledge about everything, and would teach us in certainty and in truth about everything that there is to know in this kingdom. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Again, I mentioned that prayer is a communication between God and man. Okay? And we need to know the relationship between ourselves and God, so that when we go to Him, we're not sort of going to Him as this tight, stingy man who is going to kill me as soon as I do something wrong. Okay? He's a loving, loving and caring Father. Okay? And in our life group again, we said, if it's good, if it's not good,
it's not from God.
It's that simple. Okay? Because He said, every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. And He said, it's come and we'll have life and we'll have it in its fullness. Now, if it's not that, it's not God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, in Deuteronomy 31 verse 6, He was saying this to Joshua, and was saying to him that, "I will not never leave you nor forsake you." Somebody will say that's an Old Testament promise. But come back to Hebrew. He said Hebrews 13 verse 5. He said, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content in such things as you have. For He Himself has said, He will never leave you nor forsake you." God is with us all the time and wherever we are. If you can breathe, you're breathing the breath of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then in John, we read that John 14, 16, he said, "And I pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." So I just want to establish that relationship, that we have some sort of understanding that this is not a distant God that is sitting far away somewhere with his legs crossed and is tight in a little corner, that we have to put so much pressure so that he can release a tiny bit of his fingers to answer our prayers. He is a God who is with us always and everywhere and all the time. Hallelujah. Again, in 1 Corinthians 3:16, he said, "Do you not know that the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" The temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you. And then you hear people saying, "Oh, your prayer didn't get above the ceiling." Why would you want your prayer to get above the ceiling when God is inside here? Your prayer doesn't need to get above your chin. He's here, here, right here. Hallelujah. Matthew 28:20. Again, Jesus says, he said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Okay? So he said, he is with us always. 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 And once we get that understanding and we get that relationship of who God is and where he is in relation to ourselves, it helps us in the way we pray to him. One of the key verses that most Christians stay on for prayer is Mark 11:24. Mark 11:24. He said, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Again, I wish I had a bit more time because this is so loaded that we can unpack it a bit more. He says, whatever you ask when you pray. So pray, believe, receive. Three stages, all in one verse. Pray, believe, receive. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not pray. Look at my knee. Is it healed? No. It's not healed? No. It's not healed? No. Pray, pray, pray. I'm not going to get healed. No. It's very simple. Pray, believe, receive. Simple. And back to the medication thing, it works like that. If you believe that you're healed and you carry on, then it manifests. Okay? If you believe that the person you're praying to come to the Lord has already had a revelation from God about his salvation and his goodness, then when you're going to God, you're going to him as a merciful, kind, loving God who is desperate to do what is it that you're asking him to do, as opposed to, "I need to get God to move." I can guarantee you, God is not moving. He has already moved. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I just said?
Yes.
God is not going to move. He has already moved. It says, by faith, we must believe that he's answered our prayers before we see physical evidence. If we fail to believe until we see something, then that's not faith. It's rather doubt, and it will cause us not to receive the things we desired of the Lord. In Hebrew, it says, faith is the evidence. Okay, faith is the evidence. It's not what is seen that is the evidence. And again, you need to understand that we are not just physical beings. We are also spiritual beings. You cannot understand all of these things, again, with my little peanut brain, which is why I need to switch to the spirit and pray in tongues and communicate with my Father in my most holy faith so that I can deal with doubt and unbelief. Hallelujah! I haven't even started because we haven't talked about the main things. So, my main verse for my sermon today is three, actually. They all talk about pray continuously, pray without season. So in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through to 18, it says, rejoice always. That is the 16. And the 17, it says, pray without season. Non-stop. And then in 18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus to you. Acts 6, verse 4, it says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And in Romans 12:12, again, it talks about rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulations, continuing in instant prayer. So the Bible verses about praying continuously is clear. We've got them here. But if the Bible talks about pray without ceasing, then I'm actually breaking that rule, am I not? Because at the moment I'm not praying, which means I'm breaking that verse. Do you follow that? It says pray without ceasing. Pray non-stop. Pray continuously. But here am I. I'm preaching. I'm not praying. Am I preaching that? What do you think, Lydia? You think I am? Good. Vicky, what do you think? I'm preaching that. Excellent. I think I'm not preaching that because prayer comes in so many forms. Worship is prayer. Meditation is prayer. Reading the Word of God is prayer. Reading your Bible is prayer. Sharing the gospel is prayer. Just focusing on God is prayer. It doesn't have to begin in the name of Jesus or Father and end with in the name of Jesus. If it's about God, you can't effectively say that is prayer. But all we know, most of us, is prayer is about asking God. And therefore, when we're not asking, it feels like we're not praying. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
So, Mark 11:24, it says, ask, believe, receive. Okay? Ask, believe, receive. But by the time we say in the name of Jesus, to the time when we get answer, physical answer to what we're asking for, it can be a gap. And one of the questions was that, why do some people get their answers immediately and some people it takes forever? And that is where doubt and unbelief comes in. And sometimes, certain things, they have to follow a process, like a ministry. You know, God wants us to, he said we should go to the ends of the world and make disciples. But it doesn't mean that I pray with a good heart and with a good intention and I say, Father God, I want to make all of Southampton's Christians. And all of a sudden, everyone in Southampton become a Christian and I'm going to make a church. It doesn't work like that. It works in stages. Okay? However, if I'm praying for my leg to be healed, I can almost guarantee that that healing can be instant. But it doesn't always happen instantaneously. And I do not know all the reasons, which is why I started with John 16:24. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. You need to ask him, not me. Hallelujah. So, when Jesus was with the disciples, he was talking about the fig tree that was cursed. And in Mark 11:23, he said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, will have whatever he says. It's very important about what we say with our mouths. All in that verse, there were three versions of the word say, 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 say. Now you're believing God for healing, but your mouth is professing death and pain and disaster. He did not say, pray, and then go and complain to 25 of your friends about how horrible and how terrible your situation is. He said, pray and believe. So the way you fill your mind and the way you pray continuously is you pray, you believe you've received it, and throughout the day, you just begin to thank God. Father God, I thank you that your word says that and that. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity. Father God, I thank you. And just begin to thank him for what is it that he has already done for you. And as the praises go up, the blessings come down. Hallelujah. Amen. Doubt and unbelief is one of the major barriers to see the physical manifestations of our prayers. Because when we pray, that very instant, that very moment, God hears and answers our request. If you don't believe me, go and read Daniel 8, 9, and 10. You pray, you receive. But sometimes we don't physically see what we pray for. And there are reasons why we don't see them. And I'm not going to be able to give you all the reasons, but one of the major reasons is doubt and unbelief. And you will see this in a little while. Jesus, in Matthew 13:58, he himself, listen to this, he said, he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now, if Jesus could not, if Jesus could not do mighty works because of your unbelief, why do you think you could come to the prayer team or the pastor and they pray for you and you live here and then you fill your mind with unbelief and fear and doubt and all of a sudden expect that things happen? The moment we prayed for you, God answered and did what he had to do. But you leave, you go away, you fill your mind with doubt and unbelief, and Satan comes and eats your lunch and puppet. So you are now empty because the result has cannot be stolen away from you because of doubt and unbelief. And that is why he says, pray without ceasing. You continuously thank him for what he has already done. You continuously stay in faith and say, Father God, I thank you that today I prayed about this issue and in your name you have answered my prayer. And continue to meditate. Find scriptures about the issue that you prayed about and meditate on those scriptures. And as you meditate on those scriptures, it puts your mind on God. It helps you magnify God and not your problem. And the more you magnify your God, soon you will see how insignificant your problem is. Give me a shout. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But we pray. God does his bit. And then we move away. And we fill our mind and our heart and our thought with junk. And all of a sudden, we come back and I have fasted and I have prayed and I have sung praises and I've paid my tithe and I've paid my offering. I beg your pardon. That didn't save you. It was Jesus' sacrifice on the cross that saved you. Your tithe, your prayers, your fasting. None of that is what moves God. What moves God is your faith and belief in what he has already done because of the perfect sacrifice on the cross. None of us is able to satisfy the just requirement of the law. So if you believe in that, because I've done this, God is going to answer my prayer, my brother and sister. You're praying wrongly. It's not that gets the answer. It is your total belief and reliance on what Jesus did on the cross is what brings you the result. It is when you come to the end of yourself and realize that you cannot do it by yourself. Jesus said it. He said, without the Father, I couldn't do anything. And if Jesus couldn't do anything without the Father, then sorry, your tithe and your offering and your good works in itself, it's not going to give you anything. Am I saying it's not good to pay your tithe and offering and be kind and be generous? Of course not. Because that is part of the kingdom's work. And the more you do that, it's your obedience to what God has said. And it makes you more connected and more sensitive to the things of God. It makes you more sensitive to the things of God. How many of you know that the British, I really want to understand what it is, that the British Grand Prix is this afternoon? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 people out of everybody here. Those of you who do not know, do you know why? Because you are not sensitive to Formula One. You have not made Formula One important. You do not know what's going on in the world of Formula One. So if something is going on in the world of Formula One, you will not know. It is the same thing with God. God is talking. God is revealing himself all the time. But if you are not sensitive to him, you will not hear it. You will not see it. You will not feel it. And it's not God. It is how sensitive you are to the things of God.
Amen.
Amen. What we say in our, with our mouth is extremely important. We've talked about doubt and unbelief. Let's talk about life and death. We all know about those, don't we? Listen to this. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. I'm not even going to explain that. I'm not even going to talk about that. Let's move on to Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. It's not death and XYZ and life. Two things. Death and life. Every single word that comes from your mouth is either death or life. Now, if only we believers will watch the things that comes out of our mouth, then we will see the greatness of God that is available in our lives. We come to church, we wake up in the morning, we pray 5-20 minutes, whatever. That is life. Good, well and new. But throughout the day, you're speaking death. You speak life for 5 minutes, you speak death for 2 hours. Who is going to win? Death for 2 hours, life for 5 minutes. Who is going to win? Now turn it around. Father God, I thank you for my new car. I thank you that I can either use it to do anything that you want me to do. You pray that in the morning. And as you get out throughout the day, you see somebody get out of the car. Oh, Father, I thank you. My car, I'm just going to get it like this person has got theirs. And I'm going to be able to use that to worship, to use that to do everything I need to do. You go out and somebody's talking about their car. And most Christians, what we will do is we will move in into, and God has answered your prayer. And God, I've been praying for 2 years and I've had no answer. You're speaking death. Is that quite clear? You're speaking death. So you pray and you kill your prayer. Doesn't have to bother because you're helping, you're doing Satan's job for it. Or you want him to say him? No, it's an it. I don't know. I just call it it. So you're doing Satan's job for it, and because of that, you're not seeing the physical manifestations of the prayer you prayed. You pray for your son, and you go about cursing your son all day. How does that work? Life and death, not in between. If we can all be very careful and watch the words that come out of our mouths, then we will see answers to our prayer. Praise the living God. Halfway through. One of the other most important reasons, and I think I've been talking about this throughout the sermon, why we pray continuously is to meditate and avoid temptation. Is to meditate and to avoid temptation, to keep your eyes and heart focused on God. The increased sensitivity of the things of God. Second Chronicles 16 verse 9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose hearts are perfected towards him." If your heart is on God 24/7, I can guarantee you, and this is again where I talk about medical practice and God's perfection, I can guarantee you there will be no stress. Did I say stress? There will be no depression. There will be no anxiety. Because combine this, the fact that you give us perfect peace and the fact that God is going to teach us all things, you can always trust him. Father God, I'm struggling here a little bit, but I know that your word says you will teach me all things. That just enables you to rest in his peace. Because you know when you're not able, the Holy Spirit is able. Psalm 16:8. "I have set the Lord always, always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." Imagine you're in traffic. God, look at all this traffic. I'm going to be late. Where did he say, "Father God, I know I'm going to be late for my appointment. But hey, there you go. You are sat right here on the front seat. How about we have a chat?" Can you imagine? Can you imagine doing that and stressing yourself? No! But anything that happens to us, children of God, we switch into the physical. We stay in the physical so much so that we do not know what's going on in the spirit. And we stress ourselves unnecessarily. If you have got, you know, to that appointment on time, probably won't have time for God. So hey, traffic, okay, not ideal. But listen, guess who I've got in the car? God, sitting right next to me. Hey, come on, God, so what are we doing today? See, I love you so much that, you know, anytime I think about you, my heart just pumps. I just want to bless you. I just want to sort of lift you up. I just want to give you all the good things that you can ever dream of. Can you imagine having that conversation with God on a continual basis, and how your life is going to turn around? Somebody cut in front of you. Where is God in that? And this is the reason why the Bible says, "Pray without ceasing." Pray continuously, because as you do that, your mind is focused on God, and when your mind is focused on God, you are able to respond to things in a God-centered way. Hallelujah. Because when you meditate on God, things of God come through you. In Proverbs 23:7, he said, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so he is." Yeah? You're thinking angry, that's who you are. You're thinking healed, that's who you are. You're thinking blessed, that's who you are. You're thinking happiness, that's who you are. You've got a lot of control over your life. But hey ho, we don't use it. We just go all of it to God. God, can you please make me happy? What a silly prayer. How can God make you happy when it's already laid his instructions here for you to follow so that you can be happy? He's laid the foundation, he's laid the instructions here. Clear. No, you wouldn't do it. You just want the miracle worker to put his hand on you and all of a sudden your problem solved. I've got a pastor friend. And when he first said this to me, I was like, "What are you saying?" He said, somebody comes to him for prayer of deliverance. He's got a demon. He sits down, talks to this person, they have a chat.
He knows that this person is not fully committed to live his life for Christ. So he said, Dave, you know what I did? I just said to him, my friend, you are better off with one demon. Just keep your demon and go. At least you know what you have. And I was like, why? He said, when you cast out one demon, and this person now goes out, and is not able to feed himself with the word, and live according to the word, there is going to be a vacancy and a legion of other demons. Seven of them will come. Why would I want to cause trouble for this person by driving away one demon and bringing seven? The principles are there. When we read it, we think it's for some other people, it's not for us. But when the doctor gives you a prescription and it's wrong, you still take it and you act on it as if it's a gospel. I'm not against doctors, so I've got my own GP. But they have, the knowledge they have is not sufficient. You know, God is an oncologist, gynecologist, pediatrician, whatever it is. He's the oncologist. Plus a nurse and a care support worker. And a receptionist. He knows it all. But our mind wanders so much. It wanders so much. Isaiah 26:3. Listen to this. I love this. Young people, write this down. That you, as in the Lord, will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. What does perfect peace mean? Does perfect peace mean anxiety? Does perfect peace mean depression? Does perfect peace mean stress? Does perfect peace mean I am so confused that I don't know what to do? Now, we live in a world that is so challenging. The problems that we face today, you know, whereas before, you will have to go out and get trouble. Now, today, you are sitting there in your living room and trouble is coming through your phone. We have issues. The world is a difficult place to live. But brothers and sisters, if we pray continuously, as the Bible tells us to do, by prayer, by singing, by meditation, by reading the word, and our mind is focused on him, he said, I will give you perfect peace. Amen. Please, don't come and ask a prayer of peace. This is it. Keep your mind on God and you will have perfect peace. When the Bible says pray continuously, these are some of the reasons. Hey, young people, you like this as well. Those in the university, you are finished. You are finished. Lydia, you like this. Psalm 119, verses 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers. I have more understanding than all my teachers. You know why? Because your testimonies are my meditation. You meditate on the Lord and he will give you understanding. You meditate on the Lord and he will give you knowledge. Somebody was telling me that most of the great scientific innovations and discoveries have come through people meditating on the Lord. They meditate, and all of a sudden, boom, the idea comes. Brothers and sisters, pray without ceasing. The benefit far outweighs. I don't even know what to say. It's so great. Can you imagine? You have a more understanding than your physics teacher, than your biology teacher, than your science teacher. But this is what the word of God says to us. And we read it and you're like, oh yeah. Can you imagine
going through all day and thinking, I have more understanding than my teachers because I meditated on the word. Can you imagine just when there's traffic, when somebody comes to you and says, look at you, you're ugly, look at your face. Because we get that the young people are instead of saying, I am the righteousness of God. He called me his beloved. He said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. All of a sudden, that person's words is no longer relevant because you're meditating on the word. And when it says, pray without ceasing, that is what it means. It means focusing your mind on God. I'm finished, but I'll give you two more scriptures. Temptation is one of the reasons that we pray continuously. In Matthew 26:41, Jesus said this, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. So the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. When we talk about the flesh, it also includes your mind. And you can make the mind stronger by meditating on the word. And as you meditate on the word, the mind becomes stronger to the point that you're no longer sensitive to those things that will first make you tickle. Now you see it like, you Satan, sickness, I put power over you. Satan is appointed to deliver and deal with you. Satan, pain, I can deal with you. Somebody accusing me, I can deal with you. Say somebody condemning me, I know that there is therefore no condemnation. Brothers and sisters, the Christian life is not pick and choose. It's a way of life. You do it throughout every single moment that you are awake. Last verse before I shut up. James 1:15. It says, then when desires has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, it brings forth death. Hallelujah. Now, if we are meditating on the word, if we are praying continuously, it does not conceive. And if it does not conceive, there is no sin. And if there is no sin, there is no death. Simple mathematics. I can guarantee you, if GP writes a prescription for you, next time you go and see him, you will follow it. Why are you not following it? This is God Almighty. God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. The I am that I am. The ancient of days, the restorer of broken world, the rock of ages. Adonai, Elohim. He has written a prescription for you, brothers and sisters. Are you going to follow it? Your physical body cannot and will not take you anywhere that your mind has not already taken you. Your physical body cannot and will not take you anywhere that your mind hasn't taken you. And if we give the mind to God, then we will see the fruit that he has already provided. It tells us clearly, it conceives before it gets into sin. But if we give that mind to God, then there is no conception for the devil. And when the Bible says, pray without ceasing, this is what it means. It doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to be structured. It's just instantaneous. Somebody that is with you all the time. Yeah, Lydia, can you come over, please? See? If I'm walking with Lydia like that, yeah? Oh, Lydia, okay? Okay? I don't know because
Amen.